You're listening to the Lone Star Gridiron Sports Network.
You're listening to the Top Texas Prospects Show on the Lone Star Gridiron Network, the authority for Texas high school football.
What is up? It is the Top Texas Prospects Show, presented by To God Be the Glory Sports, TGBTGSports.com. And I'm Matt Davidson with my brother from another mother, the co-host, Mark Henry.
Man, what's going on? What it do, baby? We back on the Top Texas Prospects Show, brought to you, powered and sponsored by TGBTG Sports. To God Be the Glory, man. The Top Texas Prospects Show in the house, man. Big games coming up, Matt. Talk to me. Let's go.
Yeah, I got a lot of big games coming up this week. Little reflection last week. They don't want to talk about it. Nobody does, but has to be talked about. I talk about the Gophers when they do good. Gophers went out to Roy City, and we took it on the chin. Friend of the show, guest of the show, Nicholas Weaver, did pretty well. His team won 58-0. Grand Prairie High School missed 3 field goals. They had 2 other chances to score in the red zone and had turnovers. It's a very sloppy game with penalties. It was tough. Grand Prairie drove about 1.5 hours to get out there, and they did it like right after school. So I don't know. There's no excuses. You go out and lose your first game, but it's preseason, so it's not district. So the games don't really count. It's just kind of showing you what you have and what certain players look like in certain positions. Mark, what kind of game did you check out last week, or what really stuck out to you in a little bit of a reflection?
The big game that everybody wanted to see, Duncanville, South of Cliff, 23-10. Duncanville comes out on top. Matt, both defenses are as advertised. They're going to be very good heading down the rest of the season. It was what to be expected out of the first game. Both quarterbacks, this is their first time on this stage, you know, and they get thrown into the Wolves' den by two of the best defenses in the state right out the gate. Colin Simmons, the number one player, defensive player in the state of Texas, was as advertised. But there's a guy I want to tell you about. His last name is Peters. He was on the defensive line for Duncanville, and he was a monster, man. He wears number 55, and this was the first time that he came to my attention, but he was a monster all night. Going against a very, very talented and a well-coached South of Cliff offensive line that features several guys that already have Power 5 offers and a couple of committed guys. He played very, very well. He's about 6 foot and probably about maybe 220, you know, 230. He picked up a couple of offers heading into this week from, I believe, Hardin Simmons and Texas College just off of his performance this weekend. But, you know, Alex January and Colin Simmons get all the limelight, but this young man really, really played a very, very great game this weekend. I was super impressed. I look to hopefully catch up with him this weekend at the games. You know, we'll talk about a couple of games. But his name is Jabron Peters. He's in the class of 2023. He was really, really active for Duncanville, caused a lot of havoc. Showing up in that big game, it was an ESPN2 game televised as well. It was sold out, and for him to show up and play very well, you know, that says something about the coaching staff at Duncanville. Coach Samples had his team ready to play, and so did Coach Todd. I think the difference was, you know, you had the inexperienced quarterback, and that kind of showed very early. There were 2 interceptions by Starling, who's headed to Colorado as a defensive back. He had 2 interceptions, 1 on the first drive that kind of shut down the passing game for Duncanville. And they just kind of ran it until they broke one by Durham. It was a 99-yard run to kind of break it open. And then they had a late score in the fourth quarter to try to seal the deal. But I think both teams will be very good, Matt, down the stretch. I don't see anybody scoring a whole lot of points on either defense. On these defenses, you're going to have to really be precise in what you do. The secondary at SOC is great, and the secondary at Duncanville is great. It was a battle of Titans, a clash of Titans. And, you know, I was really intrigued and really entertained by the defensive performance by both teams. You know, you had Manny Muhammad, the Texas commit, at corner. They didn't really throw to his side. He even jumped on offense a little bit to try to help SOC kind of jumpstart some things. He had his side shut down. Then you had Starling on the back end, like I said, made 2 interceptions. He showed his wear and tear and why he's a highly recruited and highly sought after guy. You talk about over almost 40 to 50 guys that have offers from all divisions of college football. And it was on display, man. And I think that both of these teams, like I said, you know, they're ranked highly already in the state, but I believe that they'll continue. I think SOC will get back on the winning streak and their winning ways real quick. They'll make some adjustments. Coach Todd and those guys, Coach Warris, the defensive coordinator over there, they have a great team, great chemistry as a coaching staff, and they'll bounce back. But Duncanville has a big test this week, and we'll talk about that before we get out of here as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any shame in your game if you take a loss to Duncanville, and it was a close game until the very end where the turnovers just kind of were too close to the other end zone. Now, Duncanville's offense didn't look fantastic either. Duncanville has some things that they need to work out on offense for whenever they play against teams like that caliber in the playoffs. They're going to have some things that they need to work on at quarterback, receiver. There's a lot of batted down balls. I think South Oak Cliff shown that their defense could hang. I just think the quarterback play for South Oak Cliff, he has to get more comfortable in the pocket. He's rushing a lot of stuff that shouldn't have been rushed. But also, when you got Duncanville coming down your throat, you know, I can't really judge that situation too much. But South Oak Cliff will be fine. If they win state again this year in 5A, I won't be surprised at all.
I mean, you got to understand what he was facing right out of the gate. We're talking about one of the best defenses in the state. This was no slouch. I do think that he will play better. You can see some of the things being said on social media around the state about both quarterbacks, but I think they'll be fine. This is the reason that they play these games. That was a measuring stick game. That was to see kind of what they have and what they need to work on. South Oak Cliff in 5A D2, I don't see them having a tough time until they get deeper into the playoffs. They got a big one against Lancaster this week. That's going to be a tough game in Lancaster against a very good team. They have a nation-ranked 4x1 team in some of their skilled players. Everything starts up front with both of those teams, South Oak Cliff and Duncanville. And any quarterback, even the best quarterbacks in the state, going against those two defensive lines in the front sevens and the back end, you just don't find that in high school football. I think both quarterbacks will do well. Now, I'm not concerned about either one of them going down the stretch. It's the reason these guys have a state champion appearance is the state championship rings as a staff. They know what they're doing, and they'll turn it around. They'll get those quarterbacks right.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing that we can take a look at. These first games are just measuring sticks. As the season goes on, you know teams are going to grow. You know teams are going to get better. They're going to build that brotherhood together. They're going to get chemistry. They're going to be on the same page. The penalties will cut down for the better teams. The teams that lock in based off their coaching. It's just really fun and nice to see that Coach Samples has his fellow coaches that used to be on his staff and players that he coached as they were students of his. They are now coaching against him. And then you have Coach Todd's about to go play against the coach over at Lancaster. Was it Coach Paul?
Yeah, Leon Paul was on the Duncanville staff. Coach Todd was a player for Coach Samples. So that tree is getting very long. A lot of those guys have started to get jobs around the state, around the country. That just shows you that when you get to those type of high echelon programs and you learn and you get the game, you learn the game and you come up under Coach Samples, who's a legendary coach. He's going to be a Hall of Fame coach when he's done. This is what it breeds. It breeds competition. This is what they do. Coach Todd and those guys, they don't shy away from anybody. They got Lancaster, then they got DeSoto, and they play Parrish. In some circles, it's an upset, but Parrish Episcopal is nothing, no slouch. They got a big win as well, and they have a guy in Daniel Demery, who's a playmaker, who had a great game over there. Parker Meese is a young linebacker at Parrish Episcopal in the class of 2025 that you'll need to know about. He's probably got 20, 25 offers already. He's a stud over there. So Parrish Episcopal is nothing to sneeze at, not a team to take lightly. South Oak Cliff, they call it the I-20. They want to run I-20. They started off kind of slow, and this is a tough game, but it was a measuring stick test. I guarantee you these guys will bounce back. I have no ifs, ands, or buts about that. That's why, Matt, these games, I call it getting eyes on them. You know, I like to see everything right up front, and I had a front row seat for one of the better defensive performances on both sides. And the offenses, they were able to make their plays. You know, there were some penalties here and there. I think the only thing that I could say that hurt Sock was they had a kick return that came out of the end zone, and the returner got tackled at the 2, and then they ended up getting a safety. That kind of changed the momentum. Before that, I mean, at halftime, it was 7-7. Sox defense had stalemated Duncanville. It was a heavyweight fight. Both teams, I know they'll recover offensively, and they'll get their acts together. I have no doubt about either staff getting those quarterbacks ready to play.
And I think that's a credit to Duncanville's special teams and their defense is that they're just that good. They're going to make the right plays when it's crunch time. I think South Oak Cliff will, too. They won this year. If they can get back to another state title, that would be great for them and the history that they can build. Let's move on. Let's talk about another heavyweight fight, or what people thought would have been a heavyweight fight down in the Houston area, the Woodlands, and Old North Shore. Our friend of a show, Rashad Johnson, friend of the show, I should say, he had a nice game for North Shore. Looked pretty good on the highlights. North Shore really, ran away with the game. I believe it was like 58-14. Mark, you just want to talk about the Woodlands and North Shore?
It's another defensive battle where the defense kind of got the best of the offense in the Woodlands Highlanders. They also got a big game this week, Matt, against Spring, coming up on Saturday in the Houston area. They call it the East Side for a reason, and you have to come see those guys if you want to get out of Houston in the 6A ranks to make it further on the way to state. I think that the quarterback, Bailey, is maturing as we speak. He's only a sophomore. He started as a freshman. You got Almondor outside is still a formidable wide receiver that's going to get the ball. And then, you, like you said, our guy, Rashad Johnson, had a great game, a couple touchdowns. Powerful running. That's what he does. They call him Baby Bo for a reason. He got cranked up.
He looked great. He looked so good. He got a break for the whole second half. It looked like that all his buddies got a chance to play because they had the game wrapped up.
Absolutely. That's what you kind of want to see. It was a measuring stick game for both clubs as well. But, you know, the Woodlands stepped up and took on a big challenge. Some teams run away from games like that, Matt, at the beginning of the year, because sometimes you want to build that momentum and get a couple of wins and confidence, depending on your team. You have to have the pulse of your team. These coaches have been there and done that. John Kay is the state championship coach, and he knows his squad. They have some of the best offseason program stuff that they do in the offseason to get those guys ready. If you want to battle a heavyweight, that's where you want to go. It's a measuring stick. And I believe that, you know, North Shore is on their way back. Honestly, man, we could be looking at a collision course around four of Duncanville, North Shore. It's a little early, a prelude to a round four, but the way those defenses played on both sides, it's the reason that they say defense wins championships. You're not going to score on these guys unless you have no penalties, be precise in what you do, and also, you know, have a great game plan going in. And you got to have the horses to run with them.
You definitely have to have the horses. You have to be able to rotate multiple athletes to compete. And if you can't rotate multiple athletes that will go out there and do their job, you're in for a long day. North Shore, what I like about them is that they don't play around with their food. They just don't. If they're going to attack their prey, they get right to it and they get it over with. You know, it's absolutely just like they obliterate the weakness. They find your weakness and they obliterate it.
The hunters never get hunted. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, they don't play with their food. They keep the pedal on the metal. They come out like a UFC title fight and try to choke you out in the first round. If you don't respond or throw another haymaker, then they're just going to run over you. We can go back to the game last year. It was blow after blow by both sides, and North Shore just had the big play at the end to win it on the Armador catch.
They always have. That's just who their DNA is. You got answer, guess what? North Shore's got that extra answer.
And they recover from the blows that they get dealt with all the time. It's a culture thing. It's a program. They have the support in that area. As around the state, they have support at other schools, but these guys just seem to be there a year in, a year out. They don't rebuild, they just reload. You're listening to the Top Texas Prospect Show on the LSG Network, the authority for high school football in the state of Texas. Each week, we'll talk to some of the top prospects around the state of Texas, myself and Matt Davison. But be sure to go and check out the products at tgbtgsports.com. To God Be the Glory Sports is a proud sponsor of our show, and we want our listening audience to show them some love back. Be sure to go and pick up some of the cool and unique shirt designs that have the trademark To God Be the Glory Ball and the cross logo on them. That's tgbtgsports.com. And for parents and players that want more information on how to get involved, please call our intern Cam at area code 832-744-3940. That is 832-744-3940. You can get all the information you need on upcoming events and merchandise specials. To God Be the Glory Sports is the proud sponsor of our 2022 show, the Top Texas Prospect Show.
Hey, did you play Texas high school football? If you did, you're part of an elite group, the Brotherhood of Texas High School Football. All football players, past and present, who have ever suited up in the Lone Star State are eligible. Go to LoneStarGridiron.com/Brotherhood. And thank you for the part you played in the greatest sport in the greatest state.
Are you looking for a podcast network that talks Texas by Texans? Well, check us out. You're already listening to us, but go to the website, LoneStarPodcast.com. You can also find us on every big podcast platform, LSPN. We have shows in business, entertainment, marketing, music, of course, sports. We have some of the best sports podcasts in the state of Texas, ranging from high school football all the way up to pro basketball. So check us out online, LoneStarPodcast.com. That's the LSPN on every major podcast platform.
I'm real pleased with North Shore, man. Duncanville was a team that I covered a lot. Before I got on with Grand Prairie ISD, I used to work in the media a lot, and I would cover Duncanville a lot. So I wanted them to win state. I had just got through covering DeSoto their whole way to state. I wanted Duncanville to go win state, but when DeSoto had their best team and North Shore beat them, and then they got back there again the next year and North Shore beat them again, Jaquinian Jackson was hurt, and it just wasn't the same. But still, injuries happen. The Hail Mary, it happened. I felt like North Shore won the right way every time because they had instant replay and everything. So North Shore is like the new Allen, how Allen was with Kyler Murray. Right now, North Shore's still in that window. Westlake's still in that window. We're kind of seeing, is Westlake going to be able to do what they were doing with a new quarterback now, with Cade over there with Clemson now, Klubnik. There's a lot of things to look at across the state. Is Judson going to be good? Did you see anything from those San Antonio games that were at the Alamo Dome? I know Adam Sandoval, our friend, was there. Did you kind of get any updates on that?
You kind of led me to where I was going. I think Judson and Cibolo Steele, led by Chad Warner, the sophomore quarterback, had a great game. He's on the cusp. You know, I've been talking about him the last couple of weeks, some of the summer. He's on the cusp of breaking out down there. You may hear those two teams come out of San Antonio. Don't sleep on Brandeis as well. But Steele and Judson just looked really well over the weekend. But coming back up to the North Texas area, Denton Guyer was super dominant over a good Heat team. Jackson Arnold, the OU commit. Another name that you need to know, wide receiver Landon Sides. I had a chance to see him at a couple of camps in the spring and the summer. We're talking about a guy that's made state in long jump. He was also a sprinter. Landon Sides had a big game. And, you know, before we get out of here, I'll talk about it. But I'm headed over there this weekend to see Alito versus Guyer. Just to get a glimpse of those guys. You know, we talked about Alito having a tough go at it with Episcopal and taking a loss. That's uncharacteristic, and the eyebrows are raised. So we'll see how the Bearcats respond, and that's, you know, that's another segment to talk about as well. But I thought Denton Guyer looked very dominant. Peyton and Eli Bowen had both had pick sixes. The defense was flying around and held a pretty good Heat team to less than 14 points. Defense was flying. Denton Guyer looks super strong. I mean, some of these 6A teams are starting to flex their muscles, and that's one of them.
Quarterback Jackson Arnold committed to OU, right?
Yes, sir. Committed to OU. As we speak, he also won the Elite 11 competition out in California this summer as well. He was the guy, you know, if you remember, we were there.
Yeah.
When they went to state the first time and he was a freshman, he had to come in out of the blue. Westlake just beat him up really bad. But he recovered from that. And I saw him play several times last year. I wrote about it in an article, and I was like, this guy's got Elite 11 talent. And I saw it his junior year, just the way, the poise he had, the way he can spin it, the way he commanded the offense, his ability to move in and out of the pocket, in a muddy pocket. When I say muddy, when he's got bullets flying around him, he had to keep his eyes downfield. And don't sleep on his athletic ability to run. I mean, he's a total package, and that's the reason he's ranked highly in the state of Texas and nationally. And, you know, we're both, kind of got, don't like OU as far as them being rivals to the state of Texas. But I have to shout out to, you know, that coaching staff, that did a whole turnover when losing Lincoln Riley and able to pull him, you know, out of the state of Texas to OU. I mean, he's the future. If everything stays the same, he's the future, for Sooner football.
Didn't Guyer, did they go to state this past year?
Right. They ran into Westlake again. Jaden Greathouse had over 200 yards receiving. Clay K. Klubnik had a whale of a game. You know, it was a close contest for a little bit, but that fourth quarter, Greathouse just kind of closed the door. And he's another Notre Dame commit. Yeah, he's back. They got a new quarterback down there, but they still have those bookends and defensive end. Westlake's going to have something to say. I mean, you got to look, okay, Duncanville, Guyer, Westlake, North Shore. You can't sleep on Katy as well. You know, Seth Davis down at Katy had a big game, a couple of touchdowns rushing. And Katy Paytow played very well. DJ Hicks down there, the defensive end, had a big game.
What about Manville and Shadow Creek?
Shadow Creek took the victory in that one. Manville's going to be down there at the end, but the Manville's a 5A D1 squad. Again, those are those tests, kind of beat on your chest type tests at the beginning of the season just to see where you're at. But Shadow Creek's going to have something to say. So the big guys in 6A and the big guys in 5A kind of flex their muscles a little bit. So you're going to start to see the elite teams start to separate, you know, midseason from the guys that will be second tier and will give these guys some run. But the big guys, Duncanville, Dengeyer, Austin Westlake, Katy, North Shore, those guys really played. And Katy Paytow's a team you'll need to know. And the two out of the San Antonio area, Cibolo Steele and Justin, all made statements and played very good games.
Yeah, great games, good insight. So thank you for that, Mark. You're giving us some insight about San Antonio and the Houston area and Austin as well. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll do final thoughts and things to look forward to in a couple of games that we're going to pick. It is the Top Texas Prospects Show brought to you by TGBTGSports.com.
Hey, this episode is brought to you by Fresh Media Works, a full-service marketing company run by myself, Chris Dalen. If you want to find out how I can help you get more customers, reach out to me by calling 713-269-4620 or on the web at freshmediaworks.com.
You're listening to the Top Texas Prospect Show on the LSG Network, the authority for high school football in the state of Texas. Each week, we'll talk to some of the top prospects around the state of Texas, myself and Matt Davison. But be sure to go and check out the products at TGBTGSports.com. To God Be the Glory Sports is a proud sponsor of our show, and we want our listening audience to show them some love back. Be sure to go and pick up some of the cool and unique shirt designs that have the trademark To God Be the Glory Ball and the cross logo on them. That's TGBTGSports.com. And for parents and players that want more information on how to get involved, please call our intern Cam at area code 832-744-3940. That is 832-744-3940. You can get all the information you need on upcoming events and merchandise specials.
This show is brought to you by the book, All I Need to Know I Learned from My Texas High School Football Coach, a handbook of wisdom for parents, young people, and yes, even coaches. Head over to www.learnedfromcoach.com and order your copy to support sharing the stories of these great coaches and leaders. That's learnedfromcoach.com.
All right, it is the Top Texas Prospect Show. We are back. We are presented by To God Be the Glory Sports, TGBTGSports.com. All right, Mark, let's talk about some games. I picked my games for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I picked my games. Let me go over my list of the games that I picked. Let's go South Lake Carroll against Flower Mound Marcus. That'll be the first one.
Flower Mound Marcus and South Lake Carroll. I think that's going to be a close game. Caden Anderson and South Lake Carroll come back, bring a lot of talent back. And I think that Owen in the backfield is a difference maker. I think he's one of the most underrated or slept on just because he's been there and done that. He's been there since a freshman. He'll probably go around as one of the most talented and decorated running backs coming out of the South Lake Carroll program. Owen Allen's a dude, man. He can catch it. He can run it. You know, we've talked about him before, and I really have sung his praises and had a chance to meet him last year, the last couple of years, and talk to him and interview him. I believe that he's one of the best backs in Texas, that his recruiting starting to pick up a little late. The Air Force Academy, the Air Force, Army, Navy, all of those guys, the service academies is what I was saying, have all offered him. He's starting to get a little late love. I think he'll make his decision where he ends up going. Whoever gets Owen Allen is getting a player that can do it all. He works hard. He can run. He can catch it out of the backfield. He's got power. I believe that I picked Carroll to come out and win just because I think they'll have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of steam going into this game. Now, Cole Welliver is a guy at Flower Mound Marcus that you guys need to know about. He's a 6'6 quarterback. Had a chance to see him at a camp this year. He's been getting a lot of love from a lot of colleges. He had a chance to play a little bit as a sophomore last year, but this is a guy that's going to be well-known before he exits the state of Texas. He's being heavily recruited right now. So it'll be a battle of pretty good quarterbacks.
Cozart.
You know, Cozart, you took the words out of my mouth. He's a big-time receiver, so it's going to be close. But I think Carroll nudges him in a close one by field goal.
Yeah, I got Carroll winning that game. I don't know how to pick the score, but I got Carroll winning that game, and then we can jump over to Argyle and Lovejoy, Lucas Lovejoy, Argyle. I actually went with my gut, and my gut told me Lovejoy. My gut told me Lovejoy just because I know what they got. They got a lot of talent right now.
Yeah, I agree, man. Lovejoy's got one of the most explosive offenses in the state of Texas. It may be come down to a Lovejoy, a South Oak Cliff matchup. I believe they're in 5A D2 as well. You know, Argyle, you can never sleep on those guys. They have a championship program. It's another program in the state of Texas that breeds talent, breeds, you know, just the community support. You know, you can nonstop. Yeah, they travel well. And those guys year in and year out, all of the sports at Argyle are always at the top tier in the state, from volleyball to baseball, soccer. You know, they just breathe athletics up there, as well as a great program with student-wise as well in the academics. I did pick Lovejoy in this one just because I thought the offense did a great job last week. And they'll probably, you know, I'm looking at maybe a 2-touchdown or a 10-point game. But I think Lovejoy comes out on top.
Yeah, that'd be nice. It'd be nice to see Lovejoy win that. I like Argyle, but I just wanted to roll with Lovejoy. St. Francis against DeSoto. I know St. Francis is a private school, I believe, right? I don't know where they're from.
They're from the DMV. If you remember a couple of years ago, there was a HBO special, I happened to see it, about St. Francis. It's one of the oldest historically black institutions. It was one of the first to be established in America. It was started by a lady that was a slave, and she started that program. It's in Washington, D.C. I happened to see an interview, I believe last night or the night before, the coach was on with another podcast, The Dub. Those guys do a great job over there, and they talked to him. This is a guy that they pride on. They got their own private jet, if that tells you anything. So they get kids from all over the country. They were kind of banned from their league because they didn't want to play them no more because they just got so talented with all of the recruits that they were bringing. One of the running backs that was on that particular show, this will be his sophomore year, Blake Corum, that's the running back for Michigan, came out of that program. I think this is an interesting matchup, Matt. I saw the DeSoto game when they played up in Oregon, and they're still working out some kinks. All of these guys are working out kinks. DeSoto's got some of the most talented players in the state. DJ Bailey, he kind of struggled a little bit, but towards the end, he started to pick his throws. He can make any throw when he has the time. Sometimes he gets a little happy feet, but his arm talent is not quite, you don't have to question that. He can sling it. He hit Jonte on a big, big pass play. I want to say it had to be between 70 and 80 yards. And you know that Jonte, you know, is a hard cover. He just sprinted right past the DB, St. Augustine out of New Orleans. And, you know, he made his play. It's what Jonte does. But I think this will be a close one. I do plan to attend this game as well. It's on Saturday in Fort Worth at Clark Stadium. It'll be the second game of a doubleheader that involves Duncanville. We'll talk about that game as well. But I'm going to make my way over there to definitely get eyes, because you don't get to see a team like St. Francis every day. I have to make sure that I'm in the house for that one, and I'll be there. I think it's at 7 o'clock on Saturday in Fort Worth. So I'm going to make the trip over there and check those guys out. But I just thought that, you know, I don't know much about St. Francis. I'm going off pedigree and what they bring to the table. I did see DeSoto, and they looked good. That defense, you know, they got some pressure on St. Augustine and made them kind of hesitate a little bit with the passing game. Kamen Mathis and those guys will have their hands full. We'll see. That's going to be a big game, Matt, against the team from the Washington, D.C. area.
Going to be interesting to see. I picked DeSoto because I'm sticking with what I know, actually. And I know a lot about DeSoto, and I like their players they got. I think with Jonte Cook at receiver, you have a home run strike every time you're on offense. And DJ Bailey, there's been a lot of hype about him and people whispering behind closed doors about he's the next big quarterback at DeSoto since last year and the year before when he was in middle school. I'm anxious to see what he can do in a full season and getting this under his belt and kind of showing everybody what he can do out there. Of course, you know, I have friends that work over at DeSoto, so
they kind of let me... Shout out to Jeter and Hernandez over there. They're doing a bang-up job. If you hadn't seen the production that they do for DeSoto football, I think the episode's supposed to drop tomorrow, the first episode for the Eagle's Eye or the Eagle's View. You know, shout out to my guy Jeter, man. He's a dude, man. That's my guy. Of course, you know, we travel together on the 707, so we've got, you know, had a chance to hang around a lot. And his partner Hernandez, they do a bang-up job over there. Check out the Eagle's View and DeSoto. I think it's dropping tomorrow. These guys do a great job in helping those kids get that exposure through the camera, the lens. And they have a great eye and they do a great job over there. But I think that Coach Mathis will have these guys playing at a high level. I think they'll correct their mistakes that they made. I think they didn't show everything. They're going to have some tricks up their sleeve. And they got three good running backs that can take them to the house. Don't sleep on Jaden Tradewick over there. He's a junior now. And he can definitely do it in and out of the backfield, in between the tackles. He had a long run at the end to kind of seal the doors shut. The St. Augustine comeback, I think they had scored a touchdown, and then the Eagles kind of slammed the door shut, and that was it. It's going to be interesting. I think it's a game that a lot of us are looking forward to, definitely on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think DeSoto playing these nationally televised games and nationally ranked games is good for their program to reestablish itself from what it was and kind of show people that they are back. The U is back. We'll see if they can get to a state title game. It's going to be tough when Duncanville is who they are. I just don't see Duncanville falling off until at least Coach Samples retires, and that's who knows. It's just one of those things that we can't predict. But yes, we can do final thoughts, Mark. Final thoughts. What are your final thoughts?
Man, I'm just so happy to be back on the sidelines and in the mix watching games. Shout out to my guy, Adam Sandoval. You know, we talked about Adam a little earlier. If you're not following Adam from GP Sports, you must be living under a rock. This guy does a super job on everything that he does. He's got a tour called a Conquer Tour. And I had a chance to talk to him on the Third Coast Gridiron. Go ahead and check out the Third Coast Gridiron. That episode's already dropped on LSC Network. And we talked about the North Shore game and Conroe versus Katy Paytow as well. So, you know, definitely, you know, check out my guy, Adam Sandoval. He's going to be moving around the state as well. And just, you know, a lot of the fellas I hadn't seen in a couple of months because we kind of slowed down with the end of the 707 and the end of the summer camps. So, you know, we got a chance to chop it up a little bit, but just super excited for everything. Like I said before, Friday, I'll be headed to Aledo to check out Aledo versus Denguyer. Then Saturday, I'll be in Fort Worth for the doubleheader at Clark Stadium. DeSoto is taking on who we talked about, St. Francis. And Duncanville's taking on Jones High School. They're out in the Orlando, Florida area. So that should be an interesting matchup as well. We'll just see how teams start to develop and change themselves as the season goes on. It's a young season. Some of the time the fans, as you'll see around the state, they kind of jump on these teams or, oh, this didn't go right. Or, you know, they're worried or their eyebrows are raised after a tough loss or a close loss or this didn't go right. It's very early in the season. We haven't even got to district yet, which that really counts. These games are like measuring sticks at the beginning. It's just to see where you are, see how the kids respond to adversity and put in situations, because everybody's been hitting each other in these scrimmages and hard two-a-day practices and things like that. Now the lights are on, the big stages are on, you know, the crowds are here, the bands are here, and this is the time of year. You know, it's my favorite time of the year. The fall is what we do. Back to football, back to the TXCP show. And, you know, again, we're sponsored by TGBTG Sports. To God be the glory, man. Check them out. We just want you listeners to show them some love, man, and check them out, man. They're the title sponsor to the TXCP show, Top Texas Prospect Show, the LSU Network this year, man. And it's exciting times, man, and this is what we do over at TXCP show.
Yes, great times. Football for the NFL and college are getting kicked off pretty soon. A lot of exciting times to see kids that we've interviewed in the past in the NFL. So many of them now to name that it's a blessing to know that we've interviewed so many of these guys and now they're in the NFL. So it's a blessing. But yeah, I like to thank all of our listeners. You know, please continue to call the hotline, the number, the voicemail, leave us your messages. We'll talk about what you guys want to talk about. Give us a topic, something we'll touch on.
If you want to give us a shout out, if you want to just check in with us, do you see any Top Texas prospects out there that you want us to talk to? Hit us up on the hotline, man, at 713-568-6361. That's 713-568-6361. Man, we'd be glad to hear from you. Be glad to kick a shout out to you in the middle of the episode, man. Hit us up. Let us know what's going on.
We're going to have more prospects on as the season goes on. We just want to be respectful of coaches and players as they practice during the week. We don't want to intervene too much in their game plan and stuff and don't want to take away too much of their focus as they're getting ready, because some of these games are starting to get bigger and bigger as the season will go on. But once again, I am Matthew Davidson at MDZGO on Twitter. You can follow us on our Twitter as well at TXTP Show. We are brought to you by and presented by To God Be the Glory Sports. TGBTGSports. TexasProspect.com. Thank you for listening to the Top Texas Prospect Show.